When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
Today, we're speaking with Anouk Gottlieb, co-founder of Belgian Boys. This is a breakfast food and snack brand born out of nostalgia that's on a mission to spark moments of happiness for everyone, especially during that first hour of the morning. And wow, that is what this family-run business is doing. Creators of breakfast magic, Belgian Boys is changing the meaning of breakfast. Moving how we shop for breakfast items from the frozen section to the refrigerated section, and that is no small feat. For a young brand whose founders are really creators, in just 4 years, they are now in over 5,000 stores, including Walmart, Target, Kroger, and Costco. We had a chance to speak with Anouk about being a creator, an entrepreneur, a working mom, and of course, how TikTok is a source of inspiration.
So I'm very proud of what you're doing.
Smile for 15 seconds out of day and make the world a better place.
Welcome to Everything is Better with Creators, brought to you by Whaler. Join us as we dive into the latest trends, news, and strategies shaping the creator economy.
Good morning, Anouk. I cannot even believe that this is the time we get to talk. It's breakfast time. And what could be more appropriate than for the founder of Belgian Boys, the most incredible food, snacks, breakfast innovator on the planet? And I'm talking to you at breakfast time. I feel like I should be eating pancakes, but welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I mean, you're so inspiring, Jamie. So to be like on your podcast. Also, when we met, I heard you on the podcast. So I feel like this is just closing this circle, and I'm super grateful to be here today.
I forgot about that. We have an elationship. We didn't even know each other. You cold reached out, and I'm the one who's honored. So this has come full circle. I love it. So here's the thing that's so interesting. You are a founder, co-founder, and CEO of a company called Belgian Boys, but it's a female-founded, mom-owned business, yet it's called Belgian Boys. Could you tell the audience about the company and a little bit of the history of how you founded it?
Belgian Boys is a company that's mission is to spark moments of happiness for our consumer. How we started, really, my husband, Greg, he started this company with his friend, another boy, both boys from Belgium. So that's how the name originated. Greg went to college in the US, he's from Belgium, and just like, I mean, I guess every expat that moves to another place was bringing stuff for himself to enjoy from his place of birth. And for Belgians, that was Belgian waffles and cookies and pancakes and all kinds of sweet treats that reminded him of home. And his American friends in the dorm were like, oh my God, this is so good. Where can we find it? Where can I buy it? And at that time, you just couldn't find those products in the US. And that's where after college, when he graduated, he's like, maybe there's an idea here. Maybe I should explore this. My background's fashion design. I met Greg on a plane from Belgium to New York. Other story. Really was in New York to design, sketch, make dresses, be inspired, super creative. New York's one of the fashion capitals of the world. And Greg was starting this idea with his friend. And I'm like, guys, this is great, but can't just put waffles in wrappers on shelves. We need to tell our story. We need to make it look good so that people will actually want to pick it up. Let's make clothes for the waffles. That was my fashion analogy. And that was back in 20, 14, 15. And today we've been 8 years in business. I want to say that I, over the years, a bit took over the business. Greg still does innovation, product. Greg's really the visionary behind the brand, the entrepreneur. And I get stuff done. I work with investors, relationships for buyers, team building. And the other co-founder is still wearing our t-shirt with pride, but steps back from operating the business.
I had never heard you say you make clothes for the waffles, which really explains a lot. Because as I when I see the brand, and I have been a fan for a few years now, and thank you, you hooked me when you sent me a ridiculously large box of Belgian treats, which is pretty incredible. You punch above your weight as a company. And the way I think about you, you punch above your weight as a brand, you punch above your weight as an entrepreneur, and you punch above your weight in innovating in the food aisle in grocery stores and convenience stores, et cetera. So I want to talk about that with you. And I think what really has been so exciting, and one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on our podcast, is you are a creator. People don't view what you do necessarily as a creator unless you explain it that way, because you're an entrepreneur. And in some ways, you've built a company with your husband and you've gotten investment, et cetera. But at your heart, I think of you as a creator, which selfishly means you're part of our world. You just happen to also have a brand that has a more understood business model. Do you think of yourself as a creator?
That's super interesting. First of all, I wrote Punch Above Our Weight as a brand because I hadn't heard of that term. So thank you. I wrote it down in my notes. Yes, I mean, I do see ourselves as creators. But I think really what we do is we create this solution for our consumer. And when we came to the US, we saw what the options were here. Yeah, we started as this brand because it was born out of the nostalgia that we had for our authentic treats. But really what it evolved is we saw that there was a need for a brand like us, consumers that grew up eating Eggo waffles and Pop-Tarts for breakfast. That's not what we want to give our kids as, and we really came to be that, okay, what else are we solving for that modern family? You know, when you have that European ethos, what we can be best at in the world at Belgian Boys, we say always, is we make European foods mainstream. We bring that, we're that gateway to Europe. How it started, we were like, oh, we want the consumer to be reminded of how they walked in Amsterdam. And we're like, no, our consumer hasn't walked in Amsterdam. They maybe read about Amsterdam. They don't know that Belgian Boys is not in the same country as Amsterdam. Anyway, so simplifying it and understanding that what our consumer wants is delicious, easy, convenient, and an upgrade from what else is on the market. In that sense, yes, we create the new norm. We challenge what is out there and say, well, that's not something that should be out there. How can we do it differently to bring that ease and convenience to the consumer without them having to sacrifice on some metric, whether that's quality, ease of use, where they find it in the store, etc.
As an entrepreneur, as a fierce female competitor, you have hit on something that I think will be incredibly inspiring for people. And I was doing some research, and what I didn't know, and I'll just put a little context in here for the audience, is that after World War II in the United States, when everyone started buying these big heavy-duty appliances and we had this, you know, consumer boom, the frozen orange juice industry was a huge business. And so frozen food for breakfast was a relatively new concept, and it was always frozen, and it was really designed to be next to the frozen orange juice and concentrated juices. That was just how the American grocery store complex innovated. And here you come like 30, 40, 50 years later. I don't even know when this all started. I guess it would have been in the late 40s. So you're, you know, 50 or 60 years later, and you're saying, you know, I want to disrupt this, but you got a lot of pushback for taking this incredible fresh product, and you didn't want to be in the frozen section with the frozen orange juice concentrate. Is that a correct analysis of what I've been reading?
Correct. I mean, it's interesting when you talk. I'm like, I guess those mega appliances and freezer never got to Europe after the war, maybe because it took longer to rebuild. I grew up in Europe and I've never bought frozen breakfast. When I came to the US with Greg and we started presenting to buyers like waffles and pancakes, they thought, oh, you need to talk to the frozen breakfast buyer. And I'm like, what is frozen breakfast? Why would you freeze breakfast? You eat it every day. It like literally doesn't make any sense. Stuff that you put in the freezer, mentality of I need to stock up on something, right? I want to have it in case I run out and in case my mother-in-law shows up and I need to make something that looks beautiful, right? If there is no food, I want to get a pizza out of there. Why would you stock up on an item that you eat every single day? And breakfast, unlike any other meal, it's a very habit-driven meal, right? I don't know what you eat for breakfast, Jamie, every day, but I will guess, unless you're one of those people that don't eat breakfast, but I will guess that it's a version of pretty much the same and you don't vary, right? Like most people don't say Monday acai bowl, Tuesday pancakes, Wednesday waffles, and Thursday a granola bar, right? Most people every day the same thing. Why? Because that first hour of the day, you have so much to think about. What am I wearing? What are my kids wearing? What am I doing today? Let me check my agenda. Oh gosh, I woke up 5 minutes too late. My hair blower doesn't work. Like there's so much stuff you think about. What you eat for breakfast, we don't think about that. It's become a habit. I'm actually reading now Atomic Habits. So I'm very book club next. So,
oh, James Clear, habit stacking. So you've hacked habit stacking for breakfast.
Well, I'm super deep into reading it. And now I'm like, okay, well, where is that a habit? Where did breakfast become a habit for the person, right? So I'm very going into the psychology behind it. Anyway, in Europe, where do you buy breakfast foods in the store? You buy them near other breakfast foods like milk, dairy, yogurt, butter. So why do you make people walk all across the store again to buy something that's complementary to eggs? There's no sense. And so we came 2015 as these two people with Belgian accents and we're like, no, we want to be next to eggs. And they were like, okay, you're not going to be next to eggs. You're going to be in frozen breakfast. We're like, okay, we'll be in frozen breakfast. We were in frozen breakfast for a couple of years, actually, a few years. And we were performing really well. We're performing growth. We're doing good. The buyers are happy. But in our guts, we were like, something's not right. Like, that's not how the consumer is supposed to shop for. That's not the experience we want our consumer to have. Our product's supposed to delight. Delight. It's like, oh, I buy my eggs. Oh, pancakes. Let's add it to the basket. We started then in 2018, I believe. We went to Costco. They gave us a shot. We did well. And then Walmart gave us a shot in 2019 in 65 stores. Today, the refrigerated breakfast is popping up in retailers nationwide in over 5,000 stores. So that's in 4 years' time.
It's such an incredible thing. And it's such an aha moment. And I think the lesson for people who are entrepreneurs or creators is this deep belief in your gut and seeing things as they could be, not as they are, but really having that fortitude to go up against, you know, you said you don't take no. I know I've been reading about how you don't like to take no for an answer, which is a common trait among creators and entrepreneurs. You know, you change the minds of big behemoths like Costco and Walmart. That's not nothing. And to see that is such an incredible thing. We have this, I like to tell this story. It's a brisket story. And it's about, you know, really being able to understand that sometimes you have to look into why something is the way it is. So the story goes, there's a girl and she's making brisket with her mother and they do the recipe. And the mother says, okay, now you have to cut the ends off the brisket before you put it in the oven. And she says, why? And she said, and the mom says, because that's how we've always done it. Then she says, go ask your grandmother, go ask your great grandmother, why? And the great grandmother says, oh, when your great grandfather and I were first married, our oven was so little that to get the brisket in the oven, we had to cut the ends off. And so that's how we've always done it. Often for creators, what you're doing is questioning how we've always done it and coming up with a solution that brings joy to people is better. And actually, as you said, is branded better. So it's the complete package, because I don't believe it would have been so successful had you not had all of the components, because the quality of the food's good, the branding is really good, and you really are in tune with what the people and your consumer wants. And I know I was just seeing all over your social that you were just in Cincinnati wandering around all these grocery stores, watching how people shop. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. First of all, I love your brisket story because A, I have the best brisket recipe in the world. I know everyone says that.
I want it.
I can share it with the world. I can share it with the world. So basically, you got to first brown the brisket with the fatty side down for 45 minutes on broil. Then you cut onions. You put the onions on the top of the brisket. And then you put, now listen, this is how I became American with my European accent. Ketchup and Coca-Cola on the brisket, and then you say goodnight for a couple of hours. You check that there's enough juice, and it is to die for. Like, honestly, best recipe in the world.
You know what I put on my brisket as I put, so gross, but Lipton's has a dry soup, onion soup mix. And I use that in addition, but I use ketchup as well. That's so funny. And I love the idea of putting Coke in, because that caramelization, that's so funny. But we digress. I love this, though. We're going to put the recipe in the notes for the podcast so we can share it. But food is a metaphor, right, for life and for, I mean, I've never eaten a meal when the cook is an angry cook and liked the meal. I think that's sort of the story.
Hey, listeners. Hang tight. We're not going anywhere. Our Everything is Better with Creators podcast will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/ACAST and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats, because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content, so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
So you were just in Cincinnati. Can you tell us a little bit about what you saw as you were wandering around the grocery stores there?
First of all, I drove in 1 mile and I found 4 major retailers that were carrying our brand, which for me was a very like pinch me moment, because being in 4 retailers on 1 mile, 4 major ones, is, I'm like, how did we get here? And it was really just a bit surreal, you know, you see it and you don't have to drive like 45 minutes to see your product in the stores. It was just there on one street, and then walking in the stores. And I think when you start to grow as a company, you know, I remember in the beginning where I was just like myself delivering the product whenever we got one order. And I was talking to those bodegas all day, every day, right? And I don't want to say I lost touch with that, but it's not something I do as part of my everyday anymore. And so just being in the stores, talking to people walking the stores, people handling your product, putting it on the shelf, introducing yourself, that's something that I have a lot of joy. It also uncovered a lot of challenges we didn't even know there were, because yes, merchandising refrigerated, something that didn't exist, that we are creating this category. There are a lot of operational supply chain challenges that we need to hurdle through. And so who better than to just listen to people in those stores? I met Bob. He's like been in this store for 25 years. And that was really exciting. He's like, oh, you're the founder. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a founder. He was, can we get a picture? I'm like, oh, I was going to ask you about that. So it was really just energizing. And if there's anything that energizes a founder, in my opinion, it's just meeting people in the stores and then seeing the consumer. That's actually something I do very often. I just go and hang out near shelves and watch and observe. Okay, people picked it up. What else is in their basket? What is not in their basket? Some people just look and walk away. And I'm like, why did they walk away? Sometimes I'll go and ask them, why didn't you pick that up? And really understanding what is working and what is not working for the program you set up with that retailer. And what works for retailer A doesn't work for retailer B, right? So it's about learning and just bettering yourself.
I think the learning, you know, is such a key thing. It's, you know, you don't want to be a know-it-all. You want to be a learn-it-all. That's what Satya Nadella says from Microsoft. And I live that as much as I possibly can. And I think you're doing that instinctively. And I saw that you guys are hacking back to school and you've used your family in the marketing, which is really so sweet. And I loved it. How did you come up with that idea? Why are you thinking about back to school as such an important moment?
First of all, that was like one of the best Belgian Boys days of my life. It was just so fun to be with my kids. Why that campaign came to be, I think our team and I have challenged each other as like, how does our brand look? And what I've seen is us like showing product to our consumer in the recent months. Like that's what we've been doing. We show our product and like go buy it. Well, that's not what we're about as our brand. We're not about showing and shoving it down. We're about creating this experience, creating that moment. So we're like, why don't we show the moment instead of showing the product? So it is a newer visual for Belgian Boys. I'm very excited for it to go live. I think it was the right level of challenge with the team. And, you know, I'm a mom. I get that first hour of the day being so freaking stressful, like lunchboxes, where's a shoe? We all have that. And when we were like, oh, let's find actors. And we're like, why actors? Let's just do it ourselves. And I think it was just, you know, you can't, I mean, I get smiling. I'm a bit speechless about it because it was a real fun moment for me to spend with the boys. You know, being a mom, I also taught them about the values. So they came to work with mommy. They're 3 and 5, Liam and Josh. And so they came to work with mommy. And when they finished work, they worked for 3 hours and they're both getting a check from Belgian Boys for the time they spent. And it can go in their piggy bank and it's going in their bank account. And I want them to really understand that. I don't know if that's the value of an entrepreneur teaching their kids, but I think it's important for kids to know, I went to work today with mommy, and also understand. I mean, Greg was supposed to be in that photo shoot and he was traveling last minute. So it was just mommy and the kids, which is kind of also like normal family, and things happen in life and we had to pivot, but I'm super excited. And the campaign we're coming up with for our consumer is because we know back to school is such a stressful time and there's so much things you need to think about. It's not easy for everybody. And for schools, we're giving our consumer the opportunity to win $5,000 for their school so they can enter. On our website, there's a link on our packaging. We're going from a marketing perspective, we're going from shelf to on screen. So we're going to have digital assets, but also on pack. We have that shout, that call out to say, win 5K for your school, partnering up with school, communities, organizations. I'm going to be touring. It's going to be really exciting. And I think one of the campaigns I've been really looking forward to and have been excited being a part of.
I just got goosebumps as a mom and as a, you know, fellow, as a woman in business, but, you know, as a creator economy observer, I think you just landed on something that's such an obvious to us as a company that helps brands really tap into this space. And it was so organic for you, but you said something, and we really believe that the reason why creator marketing works so much better versus just a typical paid media asset, you described it so beautifully. And I think it comes to the idea of heart. It was a real family, real moments, and the knowledge and insight that you have comes from because you are part of the community that you're trying to reach. So we always talk about with brands, it's not just about having your ad agency or your PR firm. When you work with creators, they can source the ideas directly from the communities that you're trying to reach because they are that community and you are that community. And I think you've brought it to life in such a beautiful way, whether it's the, you know, it's the product, it's the packaging, it's the family insight about making breakfast healthier and easier. And I want to go back and say, yes, I do have a habit. I won't talk about what I eat because it's I don't eat Eggos, but I think giving people a new habit, and you'll see when you get deeper into the habit stacking part of James Clear, that's what he talks about. But it's so incredible. And thank you on behalf of schools for giving people an opportunity to donate something to the local school. Super exciting. Let's shift in terms of marketing for one other question. You guys did something really interesting. You saw on TikTok, and I want to unpack this a little bit, the frozen pancake cereal trend on TikTok. And then you made a product of it, which was not an easy thing, and it wasn't immediate. It took a little bit of hard work there. Can you tell us that story from the insight to the execution?
I'd bring you back in time. You remember the pandemic, people had all this extra time and were baking sourdoughs and were making a bunch of recipes because we can spend this time, like all this newfound time at home and do stuff. And one of these things was a creator actually had extra leftover batter from making pancakes. And she made tiny, tiny, tiny pancakes because she couldn't make a big one. They were as big as my thumb. She put them in a bowl and started eating them like cereal with some milk and called it pancake cereal. Trend went viral, 1.7 billion views. 1.7 billion views. Insane, right? Insane. And so people started redoing the trend and were making like tiny, with tiny ladles, and everybody was going crazy over redoing, and then someone with sprinkles and someone with chocolate pieces. That's what the world saw. Oh my God, super cool trend. When Greg saw it, he's like, this is amazing. But what he saw was like, I can't believe people are spending hours making tiny, tiny pancakes. Why don't I and Belgian Boys commercialize it and bring a product that fits Belgian Boys, which is quick, convenience, delicious. And we bring a ready-made product that people can just heat and eat and don't spend time on the fuss of the making and can actually do this now every day. And because everybody was doing like, love this trend, but took me forever. I'm never doing this again. That was kind of the consensus of all of the people that did the trend. So we basically saw a trend and commercialized the idea and brought it to market as an LTO in February of this year. Being super honest with you, it exceeded any expectation we had in terms of visibility and impressions and sell-through that it had. We thought this is an LTO, we're making a trend and that's what it's going to be. And the reaction from the consumer, from the buyers, from the community, from adjacent industries were a lot of praise. And it was a very proud moment for our team.
So this LTO, which I assume is limited time offer.
Yes.
Is it coming back?
There is something coming. There is something coming in the fall.
The world of TikTok moves so quickly. The world of supply chain, retail, and food production does not move quickly. How long did it take you to go from seeing the trend to getting it on shelves? And I think you were at Target, right? Like a massive opportunity at Target.
Yeah. So it took us, I want to say, 2.5 years to bring it to shelf, but the product was ready before. The reason why we waited is because we wanted to make sure that we launch it with the right retailer through the right platform. So at Target, we have a great partnership. We had this end cap, which was right into Women's Owned Month of March. And really, we were able to create a staple in that moment. It was just before Expo West, which is like the biggest industry trade show for us. And it was just great timing. The product was ready from prototypes to the prototypes. You had to do the machinery, etc. It took a couple of months, packaging, idealization, and then creating the campaign. The question lies, how was this trend still valid 2.5 years later? But I think we didn't go, when we talked to our consumer, when we brought the trend back to life, we didn't say this is still trending. We said we brought it back to life and, hey, you were doing it. Now we're bringing it to you in an easy way. So I want to say it was a mini comeback of the trend and consumer reacted to it really well.
Maybe that's a different way to look at it. It's not necessarily when you see what's happening in the world of TikTok and what, you know, or YouTube, et cetera. It's not necessarily you jump on the trend right now. It's a giant laboratory, consumer focused group of billions of people that for the smart marketers and product developers can see something. It doesn't necessarily have to be delivered immediately, but that's a really, really strong insight. It's funny. I used to work back in the day in the toy world, LOL Surprise, which is a doll. It was, the insight was based on unboxing and it became something, it didn't have to turn around in 5 minutes and it, you know, changed the industry. So finding an insight on, you know, within internet culture, then taking it and putting it through the rigor of product development, marketing, and understanding your audience is really pretty fascinating. I love that. What did I hear you say from your For You page to your fridge?
Yes, I think, listen, it's got to be authentic, right? It's got to be authentic to your brand and to what you do, because if you're just jumping on the trend, but it doesn't really resonate with your brand, I think the consumer will see right through it. And it won't be successful. What we really wanted to find is a convenient way for our consumer that doesn't, our like moms, etc., parents, busy parents, don't have the time to go and make pancake cereal from scratch every single morning. Well, can we make it for them so they can still give their kids pancake cereal and enjoy it for themselves? And in that way, it was so authentic for our brand and our consumer. Saw that as value that we were bringing.
Obviously, you guys are doing well. You're growing. How many stores are you in across the United States now?
We're in approximately 7,000 stores now.
Oh my God. That's just so, so exciting. Well, and you've come to the attention and recently, I don't even know if it's that recently, you got some investment. Can you tell us a little bit about your investor and how that came about and what you guys are, what's next for Belgian Boys?
Yeah, so it was already 2 years ago. We were a bootstrap business. So we were just super cash efficient, I guess, figuring it out, doing it from loans to credit cards to leveraging another loan for that debt, etc. Name it, we've done it. I think what really happened for us is to learn and have the patience to figure it out for ourselves. So before we go out and find a partner, like, what do we actually need a partner for? And we need to be able to answer that question before we go out and fundraise money that also will dictate what you do and what you don't do as an organization. And so I remember Greg and I were sitting down outside and we were just, okay, we're going to go fundraise. Here's a list of people we would love to partner up with. And we had a lot of just inspiring people that honestly are like, this is never going to happen. And that's what happened. We were lucky to partner, and I'm very grateful to have partnered with Daniel Lubetsky and his team. He's the founder of Kind Bar. In our industry, the biggest success story. Built the business to $1 billion, sold the business to Mars for five. Like, crazy story. Grit, perseverance, entrepreneurship, inspiration, doing things with values, I think. For us, what I saw is a role model, someone I aspire to, not only in the company that he built, but the way he built it. And so to be able to partner up and to work with him and his team every day, every quarter is something that I'm very grateful. And I do think is giving Belgian Boys the tools to scale a business, because building a business from zero to one, two, three, four, $5 million is not the same as scaling it to that next level, which is where we're at right now.
So that's the journey you guys are on, from growth to scale. It's not an easy journey, but if you're spending time in Cincinnati, you've got 7,000 stores. We're going to say, I remember when I was so excited. You guys were so small at that point, and you're going to be a behemoth. And I'm going to let you get back to your normal life, and I know you've got a busy life. I want to ask you a question, though. I think you're a person of so much influence and inspiration. Here's my question for you. If you could inspire a movement that would bring the most amount of good for the greatest number of people, what would that be? And I think just sort of the idea of, you know, what we don't know what that idea could trigger. So most amount of good for the most amount of people, what would you do?
Well, first of all, you just casually said, Anouk, you're someone that brings a lot of inspiration. And I'm like, wait, what? Me? Which is still a surreal moment, you know, for me that you, when I hear you say that, because I'm the one who called you, right? Because you inspired me. So I'm very grateful for that. And I've dealt with a lot of imposter syndrome. So to be in a place when you ask me, who do you think and what's the biggest amount you think you can inspire? It's a moment I need to just ground myself before answering. I want to believe that in our world, there's a lot of heartache and challenges and heaviness. And you hear every day about something depressing, honestly. And how do you deal with that? I want to bring joy. That's what our brand's all about. Happiness, joy, food, what we have for breakfast, how to elevate our day, treat myself. Like, it doesn't need to be so hard. Can we stop making it like, oh, well, this is X calories and this is that calorie. Like, let's just enjoy and smile, because that's the power that we can do. And, you know, one cookie at a time, one waffle at a time. I do believe that I am making people happier, that I'm setting up, you know, one thing that I think is super powerful about Belgian Boys. When I think about the way I send my kids out in the world, you control the first hour of your children's day. You control that. You don't know what's going to happen after you shut the door when you send them off in the school bus. They might be picked on. They might be bullied. They might have the best day, but it might suck. That first hour of the day, you control. You can set them up for a good day. You can give them that confidence and make sure that you and them live with a smile. I think that little improvement, that little thing, will already set up the world to more smile. So I think that's the mission I'm on right now. And I'm excited about it.
You've got a skill. I don't know if anybody has ever identified it this way. And I'm probably, it's in the moment, so it won't be as articulate, but I'm going to think about it. You unpack the way the world works in these bite-sized moments of insight that really have profound influence and impact. And whether it's thinking about how people shop and where the food should be in the grocery store, which is on the extreme commercial side, to thinking about kicking off your kid's day as a human being, that owning that first hour. I am so inspired. We're not going to get into it on this, but we should have a conversation about imposter syndrome. And I don't understand why people like you would ever have it. But thank you for sharing that, because I know a lot of women, entrepreneurs, creators, creative people really suffer from self-doubt. But you're doing it. You're having an impact on Bob at the grocery store. You're having an impact on Target. You've gotten the attention of Daniel Lubetzky. I Eat Belgian Boys. You know, you've had such a profound impact at such a young age for so many people. It's really a beautiful thing. And I'm sure your boys have the first hour of their day and beyond is incredible. But I'm so honored that we had a chance to talk, Anouk, and thank you for sharing your secrets and your energy. I'm a huge fan and really honored to be able to chat with you.
Thank you so much, Jamie. I mean, your words are so kind and I'm super grateful. And thank you for chatting with me and just for your amazing words. I'm grateful for our friendship.
Thank you. It started as an elationship and it's continuing on in the real world. So it's from For You, Paige, to the real world of a friendship.
I love it. 100%. I'm all there. And with good brisket recipes.
And good brisket. Oh, we're going to put that in the notes and I'll send you mine too. It's so fun.
I love it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Everything is Better with Creators is honored to be part of the Adweek Podcast Network and the Acast Creator Network. And we're so grateful for your support. So if you enjoyed the show, please hit that subscribe button. And if you have a moment, we'd really appreciate a rating and a review. To keep up with all things Whaler and the latest in the creator economy, check us out at whaler.com and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn. I'm Jamie Goodfriend, signing off for now. We'll catch you next time with another episode of Everything is Better with Creators, powered by Whaler. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.